I'm Anna.
And I'm Jillian.
And this
is the Hat Picks Podcast.
Just two dope ladies talking about soccer from across the country on the podcast no one asked for.
I'm gonna have a little goldfish crunching because I'm not stopping eating my goldfish.
Yum, 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 yum.
Yeah, you're gonna hear me put my cup down because I need coffee and I haven't had it. We are recording, so this can all be used.
You know, I feel like in some ways the quality of my editing has gone down. I used to be so careful when we first started out, like any background noise, and try to get it out. And I'm just like, there's a bump here. Oh, there's a clink there. Who gives a shit?
Well, I think it kind of speaks to the like haphazard nature where we're like, we made it. Let's fucking go.
Yes. We started this today, this morning.
We're people who live lives, who have cups and do things. Leave us alone.
Yeah. And goldfish are a delicious snack. Smiles back. I'll take my endorsement now.
They need to make gluten-free ones.
Oh, yeah. They don't?
No.
That's surprising.
It's very disappointing.
Pepperidge Farm! Get your shit together! Great. Well, hey, everyone. It's been a minute. Because we have lives and cups and goldfish. Mm-hmm. But here we are. Episode 22. I don't know about you, but I'm feeling 22.
Thanks, Taylor.
You're so welcome. Well, we had our big ass Olympic episode and then time passed and we were like, oh, maybe we should do another podcast.
Maybe we should do that thing again.
Yeah. Can you believe that next month it will have been a year?
Oh my God. No.
Shut up.
Go us for sticking with it.
We're amazing.
I mean, I guess we bought the microphone, so we wanted to put our money's worth in.
I was like, more commitment than we've ever put into anything. And I was like, we're both married, so that's probably not true. There's no legal contract here.
Yeah, that's true. This is probably the most commitment that we've put into anything that was like extracurricular, like together.
And like voluntary, yeah.
Yeah. Except for that one time that we did go to a movie theater to watch a World Cup game.
We did. We did do that. Oh, and it was the men's World Cup too.
Gross.
All right. Well, how exciting is this? I'm so glad to be here. As always, got some great content for you today.
You've gotten a deeper glimpse into the history of our friendship.
Yep.
You're welcome, everybody. You're welcome.
Oh, and Anna and I are both wearing soccer shirts today. So, oh, Anna got me this shirt that you can't see.
I got my shirt at a thrift shop? At a thrift shop.
Nice.
But it's soccer
She's wearing an Arsenal shirt. I'm wearing a Racing Louisville shirt.
Yeah. Because we were just talking about our shirts as though you knew what they were.
Yeah. And I was like, I actually lifted my shirt up to the screen for only Anna to see.
Yeah.
I can't fucking wait to edit this. Talking about goldfish and shirts.
We're giving you quality content here.
Yeah, we are. Sorry for all the chewing.
No, we're not.
Not sorry at all. All right, Anna, why don't you just kick us off?
Anyway, we do a podcast about soccer, so let's talk about it. My number three hat pick, this pod, is that Tobin Heath is a gunner. So if you have paid any attention to the last 30 seconds, but also to any pod before this, y'all know that I'm an Arsenal fan. I'm a fan of the men's team and the women's team. I genuinely don't know how or why I got here to become a fan of this team, but I'm a gooner, full stop, love them. Anyway, so Arsenal women's happened to win this game, their game this weekend, which is rad, but the men didn't play, but they're tenuous at best. But being an Arsenal fan, it's like that scene in Prisoner of Azkaban where Ron is trying to read Harry's tea leaves and tells him that he's going to suffer, but he's going to be happy about it. And I just need you all to understand where I'm coming from and why I'm so excited about this. because that vibe works for both the men's and women's teams, especially after last season. But just so you know why I'm so excited about Tobin Heath here, because we were going to rejoice in the fact that Tobin Heath has signed with Arsenal. Yeah. After not having a team once her contract with Manchester United ended, and there was some speculation about her staying on one of the new West Coast NWSL teams, she's officially become a Gunner, and I'm never going to stop talking about it. And every time we talk about Arsenal, I'm only going to talk about Tobin Heath. Anyway, she's going to be playing alongside Vivian. Did you know her name is actually Viviana?
What? What?
I mean, I guess it makes sense because she's Dutch. Anyway, Tobin Heath will be playing alongside Viviana Miedema and Nikita Paris, who's also a new signing for Arsenal, who's an English international player. And I'm just fucking amped. Especially after Lisa Evans went to West Ham on loan, Daniela van de Donk left to play for OL. They needed someone like Tobin Heath to be tricky in the midfield the way that Daniela van de Donk was, but also set people up for goals and maybe make a few herself like Lisa Evans. So I think on Manchester United, both Heath and Press had to do a lot of work. Like, that Man U team was relatively young, and I think the veteran status of both Heath and Press made them kind of teachers, whether that vibe was intentional or not. But now on Arsenal, you've got players who are consistently playing at the international level and who have played professionally for a long time. I'm thinking of players especially like Kim Little. Congrats on your retirement, Kim Little. Not that you're listening, but good for you. Jordan Nobbs, and obviously Viviana Miedema. And there's quite a few more on the team. And so I'm interested to see how the more experienced nature of this team plays with Tobin Heath in the mix against teams like Chelsea. Obviously, they just played and it was successful for them, but Tobin Heath didn't play. She's not available until their next game. So I'm excited to see what that looks like. I think it's a great move for Arsenal. I think that's the kind of team that Tobin Heath needs. And she's also an Arsenal fan, so it's probably rad as hell for her too.
How great is that?
The day that it was announced that she was officially an Arsenal, I bought a jersey. The same morning.
I saw that Tobin Heath signed with Arsenal like on Instagram that morning. And my first thought was, Anna is about to lose some money.
Sure did.
And then I went to my text and Anna had sent me like three different jerseys. She was like, should I get this one or this one or this one? And then she was like, update, I got this one. It looks really dope. It looks super cool.
Anyway, I'm excited about it. And it kind of makes up for the fact for me that Hector Bellerin is on loan to Real Betis for the rest of the season on the men's side. So at least on the women's side, I have Tobin Heath now.
At least.
I'm amped.
Amped. Yes. Speaking of Tobin Heath, her fellow former Man United teammate, my number three hat pick is that Kristen Press is back in the NWSL, which is short for National Women's Soccer League, in case you didn't know that. So Kristen Press is back, sort of, for next season. So as we have mentioned previously, Los Angeles is getting an NWSL expansion team in 2022. Angel City FC. This team has a big ass butt ton, technical term, of dope owners like Serena Williams and her daughter, Mia Hamm, Julie Foudy, Abby Wambach, Uzo Aduba, Billie Jean King, and America Ferreira, among others. Freya Coombe, who has been serving as the Gotham coach, was hired as the head coach recently, in the last couple of weeks. We had speculated, may I say correctly, that Kristen Press might come back to Southern California to play in the NWSL because that is where she is from. Perhaps San Diego to play with Casey Stoney, her former Man U coach. Perhaps LA to be back in her hometown. Well, folks, I'm here to tell you that she is now confirmed as the first signing for Angel City FC, and she is back in the United States, which is super fucking cool. She was drafted by Racing Louisville, as you will remember, because we had a big ol' episode about it. She was drafted by Racing Louisville in the expansion draft in 2020, but was with Manchester United and never actually played with Louisville. They only had her rights. And it kind of seems like she never had plans to. Like, there was never any, like, post or comment about, like, yes, I have been moved to this team. Nothing. Same with Tobin Heath, except for Tobin Heath being very sad about Portland. Which we're all still sad about it.
Yeah, we'll never stop being sad about it.
Even with being excited about Arsenal, still sad about the Thorns.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Louisville made a trade with Angel City in exchange for Press's NWSL rights. Louisville got their first, like, Angel City's 2022 first round draft pick, as well as $75,000 in allocation money and expansion draft protection, which means that, you know, how they got Press and Heath last year in the expansion draft. Well, no, they like Angel City cannot take players from Louisville in the expansion draft. At least I'm pretty sure I think that's what it means. So it would be cool to think that Louisville drafted Press as a strategy all along, but I still think that even if they maybe had hopes to trade her, I think they still hoped that she would play based on some of the stuff that they have said. Regardless of their intention, this move was a good one for everybody. Louisville gets some good shit. Press gets to go home and play where she wants to play, which we love to see.
Oh, yeah.
Press has already confirmed this signing, and she's been, like, at an event repping Angel City FC. There's pictures. People have got shirts that say CP23 on them with, like, the Angel City logo. So this seems like it is the real fucking deal. And we get to see Press play in the NWSL for the first time since, like, 2019, which is super fucking cool. We fucking love it.
Yeah, we do. And we love a couple other things about this, because not only is she back in the NWSL, but she's the highest paid player in the NWSL now.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
How cool is that?
With a massive contract. So I think it's a 2-year contract for like $500,000 with the option to extend. It's something like that. And shout out to Sherry, who sent me a tweet, and she sent it to you, but you don't check your Twitter, but
I don't.
But you can find it.
Okay.
That says that a Black woman is the highest paid player in the NWSL. And we love to see it.
How neat is that?
You got Kristen Press.
Hell yeah.
An angel. She deserves it. Get it?
An angel.
It did it.
All right. That's my number three.
Wow.
Hell yeah. All right. My number two is OL Reign's comeback win over Gotham. So, to be quite honest, I haven't been able to watch a lot of games recently. I so wish that we were doing video.
Look, I licked the inside of my bowl to get the goldfish crumbs out, okay, everyone?
It was just so funny. Okay. Anyway. OL Reign's comeback went over Gotham. And so I haven't been able to watch a lot of games recently, but I was following the second half of this game on Twitter because I was just out and about doing, I don't know, something.
Out and about?
Yeah. And things got wild close to the end. So we see our first bit of action from Gotham in the 9th minute. Sodam Lee had the ball on the near side of the pitch, almost at the end line, and sends it back to Elizabeth Eddy to give space for a cross into the box. Because let me tell you, the OL Reign defenders were doing their damn job. They were all up in that business, didn't let anybody get anywhere. So Eddie sends it into the 6 near the back post where Carly Lloyd puts her head on it. But she kind of biffs it and it just kind of bobbles. But Ifeoma Onamanu saw that ball coming across, and she was just like ready for it. She prepared herself. She took the second to be able to set herself up to slam the ball in over the head of Sarah Buhadi, who's Reign's keeper, with her instep. So she like planned it out to put Gotham up 1-0. Early in the first half, you love to see it. Now, if you thought that that was it for Onamanu, you were wrong. If you thought that she was just going to be like, oh, I'll score one goal. Wow, good for me. I'm going to be done. No, no. Gotham FC said absolutely not. So starting with Kaylin Sheridan, the gold medal winning Canadian keeper for Gotham FC, she drop kicks the ball down the field where Carly Lloyd tries to get ahead on it again. But once again, kind of fails. The ball once again bobbles and falls in the path of Naho Kawasumi, who sends an incredible through pass up to Onamanu. She like almost looks like she's offside, but if you follow it closely, Naho got the pass off just before Onamanu makes the run past the defender. And then Onamanu sends the ball across her body, across the goal, and past Buhadi, giving Gotham a more comfortable lead. And Onamanu a brace. OL Reign had a few good opportunities for in the first half, but like none of them ended up in the goal. So I'm just going to move on to the second half because we have too many things to talk about for the second half. So I know that I said I wasn't going to talk about almost goals, but listen.
It's our podcast. We do what we want.
Yeah. It's our podcast. We do what we want. And this one's for Gotham. And as much as I don't want to give Carly Lloyd any sort of credit, Cabrice Tedesco had a great cross. So I'm going to mention this one. Okay. So early in the second half, Caprice Tedesco sends a ball into the box where Carly Lloyd got a great header on it. I don't want to give her praise, but she did. She got a great header on it. But Buhati gets a hand on it and then it hit the crossbar and then Olerain cleared it out. But it was just so close because if the crossbar happened to be maybe an inch forward, it would have hit the backside of it and it would have been a goal. It was good. Like, I hate to give Carly Lloyd credit, but whatever. Anyway, in the 57th minute, Olerain get their first goal. Megan Rapinoe takes a corner and sends the ball into a very crowded box where Kristen McNabb rises out from the masses. Like, I don't know how she, like, it was like she stepped on a pedestal and was like, this is mine. Get away. And she happens to score her first goal for Olerain off of a beautiful header. It was like textbook corner kick, header, goal.
Chef's
beautiful.
Keys.
Chef's keys. So at this point, it's 2-1 to Gotham. Olerain trying to get themselves back in this thing. When in the 76th minute, Olerain is awarded a penalty. Sofia Huerta was doing some fancy ass footwork and Allie Long couldn't defend it and gave up the penalty.
Ouch.
Didn't you know that Allie Long gave up the penalty because she didn't even fight it that hard? Like, she knew it was a penalty.
Yeah.
Allie Long is like the biggest complainer, not in a bad way, but she's like she's going to make her opinion known, but she knew she did it bad. She did it bad. Anyway, Megan Rapinoe steps up to take the penalty and just buries it. Kaylin Sheridan is trying her hardest to like hop around on the line to like make herself bigger and psych Pino out. And Pino's just like, nah, I'm just going to score this. Okay. It was a great penalty, a bit high in the net. Ultimately it ties the game up and Pino just like puts her whole body into it. She like it was like she was taking the shot from like the 25, the amount of power she put into it, but it was a great penalty, ties the game up.
Woo-hoo.
Now here is where I think the drama really begins, because in the 89th minute, and mind you, they only added 1 minute of stoppage time. So we're like, we are at the end of the game. Jess Fishlock is coming down the field, sends an incredible,
Yes. New word.
Yep. I'm going to keep it. Jess Fishlock sends an incredible downfield for Rapinoe, who's just been booking it. Until she gets tripped up in the box by Imani Dorsey, giving Olerain their second penalty in like 15 minutes.
Wow.
Imani Dorsey also knows that she does it bad because she goes, what are you talking about? And then like shuts up. So, of course, Rapinoe steps up to the spot to take the penalty and then makes it. In the 91st minute, which I don't know if I told you, remember when I said in the 89th minute that there was only 1 minute of stoppage time? That puts it in the 91st minute. That's math. I did it. Wow.
That's it. That's the end. End of game.
End of game. Olerain up 3-2 late. They take the W. Wow. Drama. So good.
That was so incredible. Good. I remember like checking in on that game and being like, oh, wow, Gotham. They've got this in the bag. And then looking back later at the highlights and I was like, what happened? Like, it was a very good game.
What happened was not that Olerain like got their shit together. More so that Gotham did some bads.
Lost their shit. Yeah. All right. My number D is that Kansas City ain't so shitty. They got their first win and then got another win.
Wow.
Isn't that awesome?
Incredible.
So as we all know, because I, again, have not shut up about it, they did not have a regular season win. For a long time. All season, you could say. All regular season.
Yeah.
It was pretty brutal to watch. They did get some draws here and there, but it was a slow slog for the few points that they did have. It was... yikes. That all changed in August. In a match against Olerain. Kansas City got their first W of the season, at home no less, and I think it was pretty exciting. So it was off the goal that they scored, because it was only a 1-0 win. The goal that they scored was off of a set piece. Victoria Pickett finds herself some space in the OL box and then slots it to the bottom left corner just past Sarah Buhati, keeper for the Reign, aforementioned by Anna. Everyone was going fucking nuts in Kansas City. I don't think that they had, like, I mean, I think that they probably had the lead a couple of times this season and maybe, like, gave it up. But, like, it hasn't happened much. And to go up 1-0 with 15 minutes left was like super dope, and they were able to hold on to the lead. There was much celebrating, much hugging, much rejoicing. It was cool. And then, they were able to secure a 2-1 win over Racing Louisville on August 25th at home. There was some unlucky stuff that happened for Louisville in this game, including an own goal and a red card.
Ouch.
But KC was also in the right place at the right time, particularly Kristen Hamilton, who is a recent addition from a trade with the North Carolina Courage. Hamilton has an amazing goal in the 40th minute. The own goal has already happened at this point, so they're up 1-0. And Hamilton has this great goal in the 40th minute with an assist from her former Courage teammate, Haley Mace, who also was a part of that trade. Mace sends this gorgeous through ball at center field, and Hamilton, like, turned on the fucking Jets. Like, I've seen Kristen Hamilton play, but, like, and she's fast. But, like, this was so fast. Like, she was like a little lightning bolt going down the field, and she got way ahead of the Louisville defenders and took advantage of the fact that Batos was off of her line. So she puts a low ball past Batos and helped KC extend their lead. Louisville was able to get another goal to have it be 2-1, but ultimately they did win. So I also just want to toss in at the end of that, yay Kansas City, blah, blah, blah. Just a little bit more detail about this trade that I mentioned. So in July, the North Carolina Courage and Kansas City did this trade, which was for Kristen Hamilton, Haley Mace, and Caitlin Rowland, who's a keeper. In exchange, North Carolina got legend Amy Rodriguez and $60,000 in allocation money. And it seems since then, not in every single moment of every match, but Kansas City is playing a little bit more like a team and maybe not like they have one star to depend on, which I feel like if you have somebody like Amy Rodriguez, because a lot of folks left Utah and Kansas City in the last couple of years. And so like a lot of their star people are not there anymore. And so she was like the one remaining person that was like, she's the best player, like pretty clearly. And so I think that they are playing a little bit more like a team now. And I think that they could probably snag a few more wins before the season is over. They did recently trade keeper Abby Smith for our beloved AD French, who is from Kansas, blah, blah, blah. Probably wants to be close to her family, blah, blah, blah.
Whatever.
So I think that, but with Franch in the mix now too, I think that they have a shot at some serious growth as a team as they continue to kind of figure out their identity, because like, I think that's been a real struggle for them this season. They don't even have an actual name. They're just like Kansas City NWSL like team.
Yeah.
And having, you know, becoming a team on the tails of that drama in Utah with their former coach, they are, I think, have spent a lot of this time trying to figure out who they are. And I think that this trade and these wins have shown that they're taking steps towards that. So like, hooray for finally winning, hoping to see some good stuff. And they are technically, I think, the closest team to me by just a wee bit. Louisville and Chicago are also incredibly close, but maybe someday when it's not as scary in the world, make it over to Kansas City for a game. So,
and yesterday, Kristen Hamilton got her 100th match celebration. She's played 100 games in the NWSL now.
Oh, nice.
So you go, Kristen Hamilton.
I do feel super bad for her, though, because she was, I don't know if they're still dating now because she moved across the country.
Abby Erceg, yeah.
Abby Erceg from the North Carolina Courage. Like, they were, like, pretty serious, it seemed. And then, like, she got traded. And I was like, oh, that's such a big bummer for you.
I think that they are still together because during the off season, Abby Erceg goes back to New Zealand.
Oh, so they're experienced
to being apart.
Yeah. Well, go Kansas City. No, I will not. I will do my best not to call you Kansas City anymore.
No promises.
Oh God. Now on to our hat drops. I think it's a good idea for us to do our hat drops before we do our hat tips, because then we can end on a positive note.
It's like a compliment sandwich.
Yeah.
Except, it's, I don't know what to call it here. I don't really care.
It's something. Today, our hat drops involve shitty men doing shitty things. some bad coach shit and then some other shit things from some people. So Anna will talk about the other shitty things. I'm going to talk about the shitty coaches. Can I say shitty one more time?
No, but this should be the shitty pod.
The shitty yet incredible pod.
Crushed it. Well, it's got her name. Great.
Yes. Hooray. All right. So there has been a lot of turnover in coaches in the NWSL this season, but the last month has been rough for a couple of teams, the Washington Spirit and Racing Louisville. A few weeks ago, it came out that Richie Burke, coach for the Spirit, was being shifted to the Spirit's front office, citing health concerns, which we were like, oh, bummer, that sucks. But then it came out like right after that he was incredibly verbally abusive and that players have even left the team in recent years because of it. And there is an ongoing investigation going on right now, but like, holy shit, yikes. Not a good look for him. I think that one of the articles, I think from The Athletic that I was reading, because this one didn't have a paywall, was saying that he even used the N-word in front of one of their Black players and that he had a history of being verbally abusive even when he was hired in 2018. And some people brought up that controversy when he was hired. So it seems like this is a pattern for him and that is really bad. So hopefully good things for the Spirit ahead and hopefully he is the fuck out of there. So
there's also actually a whole Washington Post article about Richie Burke because there is one player, Kaya McCullough, who I follow on Twitter and
she's the one I was talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. She's got a lot of great commentary on soccer. So if you also, obviously because she played, but she left playing professional soccer because of Richie Burke and his abuse. So he's fucked. Genuinely a piece of shit.
So yikes. Don't like that. And then last week it was announced that Christy Holly, head coach of Racing Louisville, was fired, sacked out the door. I think that they're like, I was really confused at first, because I hadn't read anything and I literally just saw the article that he was fired. So I was like, oh, it says that he was fired for cause. And I was like, what's going on here? Anna helped me with some of those things, as did the rest of the internet. So some players, my friend Casey from Louisville, hey Casey, sent me something about how some players had cited a toxic environment allegedly fostered by Holly. So that's something to throw in there. He is also allegedly and loosely tied to a federal case where some people, quote, conspired to, I don't know what's quote from, but I quoted it, conspired to defraud federal agencies through the submission of false petitions to secure hundreds of visas on behalf of at least 7 professional soccer teams. And this would have been when he was Sky Blues coach. So there's not like any like actual like, I mean, there's just like potential connections for him during that, which is also not a good look. As one of the things I saw, it was like, is it the worst crime in the world? No, but it's still really not good. And so that's not so good. And I guess finally, Louisville doesn't have a great record this season. They are only better than Kansas City. And they're 4-8-4. It's, you know, the cause that the front office is talking about for firing him, it could have something to do with that or any of the other things that we mentioned. It could be some combination. We'll see. It's a bummer for players like Ebony Salmon and Nadia Nadim, who cited Holly as a reason for coming to Louisville. So hopefully, you know, Louisville has done some really good things this season. They just won, we're going to talk about it soon, but they just won the Women's Cup that took place there with some international teams. And while they haven't won a ton of games, like, they have done well in many respects as an expansion team and have a good fan base. And so, you know, hoping that both Louisville can recover from losing their coach and that the Spirit can recover from going through some pretty traumatic things, it sounds like, with their former coach. So hopefully these teams can have good and healthy environments in the future, but like, definite hat drops for now for both of them.
Yeah. And speaking of shitty men, this last week, Cristiano Ronaldo became the leading men's goal scorer in the world. Cool, whatever. However, did anyone specify that he's only broken the men's record when giving him the mountains of praise that he doesn't actually deserve? No, no, of course not. Why would he do that? Not only is he not the leading goal scorer in the world, removing gender from it, but he's also been accused of some pretty heinous crimes against women. So not a good guy. But we're just going to talk about the soccer portion right now and just acknowledge that he is shitty in a variety of other ways. So yes. Did it take everyone that actually cares about the women's game to yell about Christine Sinclair actually being the leading goal scorer in the world with 76 more goals than Cristiano Ronaldo? Yeah, it sure as hell did. Because of course it did. Ugh. Anyway.
It was like every outlet that like supports women's soccer was like, hey, by the way, like, every post I saw for several days was like, please pay attention to this.
Just there were a lot of posts after news outlets had to be reminded that there are in fact other genders that play sports that did change that, like their previous posts and future posts in talking about this to specifying that he's the men's leader. So we do appreciate correcting that moving forward. However, you should
have done it
to begin with, you know. Yeah. Anyway, so just a reminder, Ronaldo is the leading scorer for men. And Sinclair is the leading scorer amongst everyone. She wins. She's the best. Right? Just
number one, all the way.
And on top of that, there are just a number of women who have scored more goals than Ronaldo. So everyone can stop talking about him now, please, for the love of God. He barely breaks the top 10 for women. Okay? He's not that great. All right? Shut up about him.
Ew.
Loser.
Ugh. So frustrating.
Anyway. Back to things that are nice. Our hat tips, this pod. The WSL is back and the W League is expanding. So much soccer. We love it. Anyway, the WSL is back in action. This past weekend marked the beginning of the regular season. There's some dope ass action. I was going to say it closer to the way you say it because you wrote it, but then I was like, I can't. Nah. Arsenal beat Chelsea, which I have mentioned, and if you follow me on Instagram, you've already seen. I was amped. Man U beat Reading, which we all saw coming. Man City stomped Everton, which is a bummer, but also pretty cool because Hayley Raso used to play for Everton, and now she plays for Man City, so it's just kind of a fun.
Hey.
Anyway, Aston Villa snagged a win against Leicester City with 2 goals in 2 minutes, which is incredible, after being down 1-0. There's plenty of other action. Some other stuff happened, but we're super pumped to have soccer back in the UK.
Woo! Yay! And some exciting news coming out of Australia. I obviously gave myself this one so I could do the accent. The W League plans to add 3 expansion teams ahead of the 2023 World Cup, which will be in Australia and New Zealand, and what they are calling plans to drive women's football forward, which we fucking love. The teams would be the Wellington Phoenix, Central Coast Mariners, and Western United FC. So, like, fuck yeah. The last team to be added for an expansion was Melbourne City in 2015. So this is some super exciting shit, and we love to see the game expanded. So can't wait for those new teams to come around. And finally, something we didn't mention earlier, but surprise!
Carly Lloyd is retiring. We are much pleased.
I also appreciate that we have like brainwashed people now. Like, at least 2 people I know have been like someone was like, why am I not that sad that Carly Lloyd's retiring? And it's like, because we've ruined you.
You're welcome, everybody. We are doing the Lord's work.
Indeed. And I work for the church, so that's that's true. All right, enough tipping of hats. On to our shared number one, which this week is goalie madness. Because we're going to be talking about some good stuff that happened with some keepers in the last few weeks. So I will begin by talking about some shit. So a couple of weeks ago, there were 2 international tournaments held in the U.S. with NWSL teams and teams from across the pond. Racing Louisville FC hosted the Women's Cup, which featured Louisville, the Red Stars, FC Bayern Munich, and Paris Saint-Germain. Then the Portland Thorns hosted the Women's International Champions Cup, which featured Portland, Houston, FC Barcelona, and the French one. Oui, oui. So both of these tournaments had a lot of penalty shootouts, I would say. And we want to shout out 2 Bebe keepers who totally crushed Shelby Hogan for the Portland Thorns and Katie Lund for Racing Louisville. So we'll begin in Portland, the land of ports, which I was there very recently. I didn't get to see the Thorns play, but ended up being okay because the game was canceled. Yay. And not yay because it was COVID related. Boo on that.
Yeah.
So, in the opening match versus the Houston Dash, Portland came back to tie the game 2-2 with a goal by itty-bitty baby Olivia Moultrie, I might add.
Yes.
So these tournaments are only two games, so this first match had to go to penalties to see who would play in the championship later that week. Shelby Hogan, who went to Providence College, just fun fact in case you care about that shit, made her debut in Portland for this match. Probably had her confidence shaken after the Thorns were down 2-0 before eventually bringing it back. However, I'll say, when it came to penalties, you couldn't fucking tell.
Oh, yeah.
As we have mentioned many, many times, penalties are hard. They are stressful. And while some keepers are Ashlyn Harris and Alyssa Nair, most are not. Just statistically, they are the only people who are themselves.
Oh, I thank you very much, Captain Obvious.
Penalties are difficult to stop. They're hard to read. It's a tough thing. But you know what Shelby Hogan did for her Providence Park debut? She stopped 3 penalties and Portland went on to win and made it to the ICC championship versus OL and won that shit too.
I do like that it's the International Champions Cup championship.
Ha! And like, I want to point out that she like people shank their penalties all the time. Like people miss, but like she actually stopped them with her hands, with her little 23-year-old goalie glove hands. She stopped them. It wasn't the Houston players shanking. So that was so dope. You go, Shelby Hogan. Now, on to Louisville. Back to the Central time zone. Nope, they're in Eastern. What the fuck am I talking about? I know stuff. Back to closer to where I live. So Louisville also made it to their cup championship, the Women's Cup championship, against FC Bayern Munich after winning in penalties against Chicago. This game eventually ends in a tie 2-2 and goes to penalties. But what's important is that Michelle Batos was subbed off in the second half. I think they said like maybe she was having a bad reaction to the heat or something, but regardless, she got subbed off in the second half for keeper Katie Lund, who went to Texas Christian University and Arkansas, also making her professional debut. Ah!
Can I just say that Katie Lund went to schools where they have the weirdest mascots? One's a horned frog and one's a goddamn pig.
Yes.
Anyway.
Batos is the captain and I think a huge like centerpiece for the team. And so those are some big shoes for Lund to fill. But when it mattered most, she came up big. She made 2 saves at the end of the regular penalties to keep Louisville in it. Essentially, there's those 5 penalties that every team gets. And it was tied 2-2 after 5 shots. So they headed to sudden death penalties. Much stress. Louisville and Bayern make their first sudden death penalties, both of them. But then Gemma Bonner misses hers for Louisville. Dun, dun, dun.
Bomber.
But then Lund comes up big again and saves the next from Bayern. Both teams then make their next 3 penalties. This means that 10 players, because math,
we can do it here.
10 players have taken penalties for each team, which leaves there's 11 players on the field. Guess who's left? It's the keepers. Which is wild. I have not seen that, like,
not in a long time.
No. So Katie Lund goes first for Louisville, steps up and makes her penalty. Like, she puts some fucking force behind it. It was a good goal. Like, she was, in Anna's words, amped. Like, so amped. And then Laura Bankarth for Munich comes up. And Lund stops this fucking shot. 4 major saves, which gives Louisville the trophy. So I just was like so impressed by these newbie keepers, like doing so well under pressure, like easily in their debuts, like could have totally choked, understandably, but like did so fucking well, came up big. And hopefully that also instills a lot more confidence in the team that it's like, okay, we've got these people behind us. Like if something happens to Batos or something happens to Bigsby, who I assume is the first string keeper now.
Absolutely.
You know, like we've got some people in our corner who can come up big and do well for us. So
especially since they came in, like you mentioned high pressure scenarios, but it's a cup. It's not like the regular season, like a late in the season game. It's like there's a very finite amount of games in these tournaments.
Right.
And you win or you lose. There's no like making it to the playoffs. And that's a really good run for our team. Like that's not a thing. There's
it's like 2 games. Yeah.
Yeah. Like you play a couple games and you win. And so being able to step up in like super high pressure scenarios is deeply impressive for these bebes.
Tiny, teeny, tiny, itty bitty bebes. I mean, they're like 23 and 24, but still, like they're bebes in terms of like their professional playing time.
Yes. And they're also bebes in terms of the players that we've been following for most of our lives.
Yes.
So we're just like, you're so small. Wow.
So Katie Lund is so tall. Oh my God.
I know. It is, I think that her like whole hand could fit over my whole face.
Likely.
Yeah. Anyway, we'd be goddamn idiots if we didn't talk about Ashlyn Harris in our celebration about keepers. I mean, we already mentioned her. She's awesome. This season alone, she's had a 75% success rate in the goal.
Holy God. Really? Wow.
Yeah. I was like looking up her stats because I wanted to include them, obviously. And I saw 75% success rate. And I was like, that seems high. Is that normal? It's not normal. She's good.
I think she's actually stopped maybe like 4 or 5 penalties. Like,
according to the NWSL website, it's 3.
Okay.
So it's probably, I think it's more.
It's a lot.
In her career, but I think this season it's technically 3.
Got it.
But she recently became the all-time saves leader in the NWSL, and she god dang deserves it. I mean, she's a brick wall. Like, since the Orlando Pride have been a team in the NWSL, they haven't had the best defense.
Ouch.
To be quite honest, they've had the right players for the job, just not the right chemistry. Anyway, we're not here to talk about the Pride subpar defense, but what that subpar defense meant for Ashlyn Harris was that she had to work her little tushy off. And she has for years, because she has been the starting keeper for the Orlando Pride since the team existed, since the expansion.
It's always.
Since forever, she's been the starting keeper, except for when she's called for international duty or when she had her, when they had their bebe, you know, because yes. Priorities. But just an easy example recently. Last week, Orlando Pride played Gotham, and literally in the opening minute, Gotham got a shot on goal. Remember when I mentioned the subpar defense?
Do you remember that?
It was like 30 seconds ago, but like, yikes, right? Okay. Anyway, Ashlyn Harris laid out across the goal to get a hand on it, to bat it away. And, you know, I don't think we give goalies enough credit for their game intelligence, because they have like a weird perspective of the field and aren't with the ball as it moves. Like, defenders can move up, forwards will move back. They're kind of always within eyesight of the ball. And that's not the same for keepers. They're stuck in one spot. They don't get to move around and kind of see the way things are moving.
Yeah.
But Ashlyn Harris, I honestly think is one of the best at reading plays and movement and being able to know where the ball is going to go. And that's what makes her so successful as a keeper, especially when your defense isn't doing what you need them to do consistently. And I mean, there are plenty of other keepers who are really good at this, but looking back at the second goal that Anumanu scored against Buhati wasn't prepared for that. She like wasn't reading it well. She was caught off guard when Anumanu put the ball across her. Like, you can see that she kind of like falls backwards to try to get it because she doesn't quite read the situation the way that Ashlyn Harris can. And I think that in part comes with not having a great defense. You have to be able to read that, like, everything that way. And I mean, Buhati is on the French national team. She used to play for OL in France. She's had some of the best players in front of her forever.
Right.
And so you don't have to read the game in the same way. And so I just like to give props to Ashlyn Harris for being just like genuinely so good at it.
Yay! Fuck yeah. And I think that save that Anna mentioned was the save of the week,
mm-hmm.
because it was so good. Full horizontal.
Full horizontal, having to be prepared in like 40 seconds for that ball to be near her. The game literally started 40 seconds before, and to be able to get prepped, be ready, and lay out across the entire goal to get the ball. I mean, she's incredible.
She's a beast. We love it. So
one of the best.
Hooray for all the keepers out there doing the most. It's a hard thing. I would never ever do it, as you all know, because I would be terrible.
It's like mentally hard because you're the last like line of defense.
Yeah.
That ball goes past you, you're like, that was my fault. And then you also are putting your body on the line.
Oh my God.
In a very different way than other players.
Yeah.
And also the likelihood that you could get kicked in the face is much higher.
Or anywhere. I mean, it's not, no. That's why I loved being a forward, because it was like, oh, if it got past me, it's like, there's somebody else who can take care of it.
That's somebody else's problem now.
Yes. So that's somebody else is Ashlyn Harris.
Yes. We need players like her.
Yes. I'd also like to take this time to announce, well, first of all, great number one. We're amazing. Announce the our second podcast will be coming out soon.
What?
Anna and I have decided, not really, this is all a joke. But as but
one
as
day you, it probably won't be a joke.
I really genuinely think it might not be a joke.
We have all the equipment now.
I was like, we have the means. So Anna has been like following this person who has been rewatching Pretty Little Liars. As you may recall from I think maybe our first episode, Pretty Little Liars is one of Anna and mine's like shared interests and how we became friends. It's watching trashy television together.
Yeah.
And this person has been rewatching it and like giving her feedback on the episodes and like calling shit out. And we were like, oh my God, are we going to do a Pretty Little Liars podcast where we rewatch the show and talk about it? And I know that there are so many podcasts out there where people are doing that shit. There's tons of soccer podcasts too. So who gives a fuck? But like, that would be the funniest shit ever because that show is so bad. The amount of plot holes,
there's so many.
It's unreal.
There's so many things that don't make sense. And then the writers are like, oh, right, that doesn't make sense. And so they never talk about it again.
What if we had a Pretty Little Liars corner in our Hat Fix spot? Everyone's like, what the fuck is this? I can't.
It'll be the hooded corner.
I came here to support you for one of your niche interests, but not both. I can't do this.
You're expecting too much from us.
But just an FYI. So,
if you hear us promote our other podcast in the future, know that we thought it would be a joke. It wasn't.
It wasn't. Oh my God.
Wow.
I just imagine myself doing that podcast the same way I do this one with like the same sound effects, but for Pretty Little Liars. Oh, Jesus Christ.
I mean, can you even imagine?
It would
There's
be...
so much to talk about, namely Caleb's Jeep.
Oh my God. What happened to
it? Oh my God. Anyway.
Ooh, anyway.
You should follow us on social media. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at HatPixPod. You can also send us an email at HatPixPod@gmail.com. That's yeah. It. That's an email address. I got there.
It's there. Website, Twitter, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, yeah. We have a website. It's HatPixPod.com. It's pretty simple.
I forgot
simple.
About that.
I forget about
that,
it.
Because we paid for like a year. Do you think that?
Oh, shit.
I think it's going to still exist.
I don't know. Let's go there now. HatPixPod.com. I mean, it's there as of right now.
All right. Well, we're still hanging on, but by a thread. So, on that note, I'm Jillian.
And I'm Anna.
And this has been
the HatPix Podcast.
Maybe Pretty Little Liars to be determined.